Good morning, church. It's good to be with you today. My name is Jeremy Africa, as one of the pastors here at Midland First. On behalf of those who are helping me to lead worship today, we're glad that you are here, whether you are in our sanctuary, perhaps joining us online through our live stream on YouTube. Perhaps you might see us later in the week on Midland Cable Television. However you're joining us this day in worship, we're glad that we could be together. As we begin our time together, I do want to highlight a few announcements. There's a great deal that's happening in the life of the church, as you might imagine, as we step into fall here. But want to highlight two announcements to you. Number one is the celebration of Mike Luce's ministry here at Midland First. You might remember that Reverend Mike Luce resigned from serving as our member care liaison this past summer, and Mike had been serving in that capacity for 4 years here at the church. So this coming Sunday, September 29th, we will celebrate Pastor Mike's ministry among us. Pastor Mike will be at the 9 a.m. service, and we'll recognize his ministry then. And also there will be a reception in between services. So if you come regularly to the 11 o'clock service, come a little bit early and help us express our appreciation to Reverend Mike Luce and his wife Janet. There'll be a reception in the parlor starting after our first service at 9. And so we'll invite you to that time together of saying, expressing our gratitude. Also want to highlight for you something a little bit further around the corner, and that is the church's ministry fair. This is Sunday, October 13th. Again, we'll be in between our services, so starting up right around 10 o'clock. Invite you to come early. This is when our ministries and our teams come together to share all the opportunities to be a part of the church's life. And something new that we are trying this year is encouraging everyone in the church to take what is called a spiritual gift inventory. And so you would answer a series of questions, and in answering these questions, you'll receive response back as to what your spiritual gifts might be. And what we're doing for Ministry Fair is asking each of our teams and ministries to name the gifts that apply very much to the work that they do together. And hopefully this will help you find ministries or opportunities to engage you that you might find very fulfilling in your life as you live out your faith. And so you can take that spiritual inventory by filling out a paper copy. There's copies in the parlor. Or also, if you're receiving our e-blast, that's our weekly email, invite you to go to that message. Inside of it, you'll find a link to the spiritual gift inventory. We're encouraging everyone to fill that out and participate ahead of Ministry Fair in that way. But with all of that, there's an awful lot else that is going on, so I encourage you to check out your weekly email blast. If you aren't yet receiving those, please contact the church office, and we would be happy to add you to that mailing list. But with all this, let us stand as you are able and join one another in our opening songs.
You to stand, and we are going to begin our worship today with a song called Mighty to Save.
Thank you.
glad to see you all here today. And one of the things that we do when we come to worship is, what are we leaving at the door? Our baggage, our luggage, right? Our next song, In the Father's House, is a good reminder of what God expects of us and what we expect from God.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, that's what my Father does. Failure won't define me, that's what my Father does.
As we invite Hillary forward to do our children's blessing today.
Welcome. Come on up. Okay, so, sorry. We are starting to study in Sunday school how Jesus turned the world upside down. Not literally, figuratively. So one thing that happened was in Jesus' time, children were not valued. Fortunately, Jesus taught us a better way. The Messiah was expected to be a king or warrior, not a servant. Jesus was our servant, wasn't he? Yep. The disciples were normal people who did normal things like argue. Maybe that's a comfort. Jesus said many things that confused his disciples, or at least made them think, just like we think about what he said. So one thing that Jesus said is in the Bible in Mark 9. He took a little child and put it among them. That would be the disciples. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." So that gives us all a lot to think about. We're also, for our prayer today, going to try something new. And I would invite the congregation to join us in this. So if you open one hand, and then with the other hand, make a cross. Now close the hand that has the cross on it. You have Jesus. Close that hand whenever you need him. Let us pray. May God bless you as you walk with Jesus and become great by serving him and his people. Amen.
Congregation, I invite you to stand as we sing our song today called "Father Welcomes All His Children." This is a song to affirm what Hillary has just told us and something we truly believe in this church. Children are valued here. So please rise as we begin. This is a new song, I apologize, but we will learn it together. Ready? Three, four.
Join us in worship last week. You might remember that we are trying something new here at the 11 o'clock service, and that is inviting those who are worshiping to come forward during the time of offering and place the offering plate, place your offering or tithes in the offering plate up front as kind of an act of worship, an act of offering our gifts to God. And I recognize that nowadays, our giving habits have changed, where we might give once a month or we might give electronically. We simply invite you, even if there's not an envelope in your hand to give, we invite you to come forward and touch the plate as just a reminder of the offerings that we give to God throughout the week. Everyone's invited, but no one is required to do so. And for this coming week, you might remember that it is Neighboring Week here in Midland. And so it's an initiative across our county to be good neighbors. And as a church, we want to equip our congregation to do that. And so one of our small groups, our Tuesday noon small group, came together and took all the popcorn and candy that was donated and placed them in these handy pop-and-in bags. And we want to invite you after worship. There are bags available at the back of the sanctuary. I invite you to pick up a bag or two and be intentional about dropping by a neighbor. Now, perhaps stopping by a neighbor's house is like a really tall hill to climb, right? And so I'm going to invite you to stop by a neighbor that you know and give them this gift and just remind them that you appreciate having them as a neighbor. Or perhaps God is moving you to be big and bold and to introduce yourself to somebody who you know is new to the neighborhood and you don't know them and they might not know many people. I invite you to use this bag. Just let them know that this is neighboring week and you want to drop by and be a good neighbor. There's a bag of microwave popcorn and then also a couple pieces of candy just to offer a neighborly gesture. But let us do that as a reminder that all that we do, whether it's on Sunday morning or throughout the week, is an offering to a God who loves us very much. Let us give as God gives us so much to give.
From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled. Not to be served, but to serve.
prayer. Lord, as you draw our hearts closer to your hearts, as your Holy Spirit perfects our love for you, you know our heart's desire to live our lives as a daily offering to you. And so together as your church, we pray that you would take the gifts and tithes that we have presented to you, and that you would also take all that we are, and that all that we do, and may it be a pleasing offering to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. If you wish to read along in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 42 of the New Testament. Today I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead." They didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you discussing out on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." Then he put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me." May God add God's blessing to the reading of God's word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. With the lingering warmth of summer and my need to begin the day with some form of movement or some sort of exercise as part of my morning routine, I've enjoyed reintroducing jump roping into my circuit of activities. It's kind of like a win-win, right? Anytime you can jump an inch off the ground and feel athletic, I'll take it. So perhaps it might reveal more than you want to know about me, but one of my favorite things to do while I am jump roping is to put my earbuds in and listen to a podcast that is simply a compilation of positive affirmations, ranging from the inspirational to the motivational. Having started my day in reading the Bible and spending a little bit of time in prayer, I find it helpful to anchor the rest of the morning before the day gets going in positivity. And this past week, during one of my jump roping sessions, I ran across a saying that has stuck with me since the first time I heard it. It's the saying that's often attributed to Jim Rohn, and it goes like this: You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. While it might be enticing to argue otherwise, in many ways, this only makes sense. Surround yourself with optimistic-minded individuals, the greater likelihood that you are a optimist. Surround yourself with people who are more able, more adept at pointing out everything that is wrong. Chances are your mind too will be drawn to such things. When I heard about this quote, this about idea of being the average of the five people we spend the most with, and knowing that we'd be taking a look at Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, I couldn't help but think of that idea in light of the 12 disciples. After all, they spent the better part of 3 years together with each other and with Jesus. And as we come upon them in Mark chapter 9, we find Jesus and his disciples on the road passing through Galilee. Galilee is a region west of the Sea of Galilee. And in the Gospel of Mark, any time that we come across this, it seems to be an important region. For example, it was in Galilee that Jesus invited his first disciples to come and follow me. And if we turn to the very end of the Gospel of Mark, Galilee is where Jesus meets up with his disciples after being raised from the dead. And so this is Mark's way of perhaps telling his audience, perhaps telling us to pay attention. To pay attention because something big is about to happen. Something of significance is about to take place. Because it's in Galilee that Jesus called his first disciples. It was Galilee where he would meet up with his disciples after being raised from the dead. And for now, Galilee is where his disciples are going to learn what it means to follow Jesus. What does it look like to live a life as a follower of Christ? So arriving in Capernaum, a place where Jesus had called home and where much of his ministry took place, Jesus and the disciples situate themselves into a home. And as they're getting comfortable, as they're finding their place, Jesus has a question for them. Jesus asks the disciples, "What were you discussing out on the road?" Or if you have it turned into in the New Revised Standard Version, you'll see Jesus asking, "What were you arguing about on the way?" And what we hear next is this awkward silence, right? If you're a parent of multiple siblings, you might experience it. You know, there's a room full of chatter going on, and then you step into the room, and all of a sudden, all that chatter dies away. Or if you taught, right? The classroom is a buzz. You stepped outside of the hallway and the classroom's a buzz. But then you step back into the room and there's this awkward silence. And knowing what Mark knows, knowing what Jesus knows, this awkward silence is perfectly understandable because the disciples, well, they intended their conversation to be private. It was a Snapchat type of conversation, right? Kind of just dissipates into the ether. They never intended Jesus to hear or for Jesus to know what was being discussed behind their back. And so Jesus asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" Because Jesus knew. Jesus knew that they were arguing about who would be the greatest one among them. See, who we choose to walk alongside life's journey and what we choose to discuss is something worth discussing. After all, each of these shape the desires of our hearts and sometimes the destination of where we're headed. Perhaps by coincidence or not, I found myself this week in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8 and 9. And what I notice is that, yes, throughout the Bible this is so, but in these two chapters of Acts, what I notice is that there's an awful lot of traveling going on. So, for example, in chapter 8, Philip, also known as the evangelist, travels to Samaria. If we read on further in the chapter, we find Peter and John, sent by the other apostles, also headed to Samaria. And further on in chapter 8, Philip is back on the road and headed to Gaza, where he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. If we go on to chapter 9, we find Saul on the road to Damascus. Yes? This well-known road where Saul encounters the risen Lord. And after his conversion, Saul heads on the road to Jerusalem, then on to Caesarea, and finally on to Tarsus, his own hometown. And closing out on Acts chapter 9, we find the apostle Peter traveling from place to place. Arriving in a town called Lydda, only to move on to Joppa, where he raises a believer named Tabitha from the dead. This is a lot of traveling. This is before the day of EVs and internal combustible engines. Even before the days of John Wesley's horses, perhaps. I'm sure they had animals that they rode. But skipping over my jump rope and considering what I had just read in Acts chapter 8 and 9, and in thinking about the disciples and their conversation behind Jesus' back, it occurred to me that each of us do our fair bit of traveling in life. Right? That each of us is on some sort of path or some sort of road. From where we are or who we are today to where we are headed further down the road. And being reminded that often we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with, perhaps it's worth thinking about, perhaps it's worth considering what conversations are we sharing along the way? Are they the sort of conversations that align our hearts with God's own heart? Are they the sort of conversations that encourage us and have us following in Jesus' footsteps? Or are they the kind of conversations that would introduce the awkward silence if Jesus were to ask us, "What were you discussing out on the road?" Considering all this, I think about the road that we're traveling on as a church. So whether in our team meetings or our committee meetings or the unofficial meetings that happen in the parking lot afterwards, whether it's whenever our small groups gather together, or perhaps when our musical groups, our choirs and our bands come together to rehearse, or whether it's in our interactions with guests to the church or our neighbors in our communities, are our conversations as a church the kind that reflect the kingdom of God? Are they the kind of conversations that move us towards having things how God would have them? Are we furthering one another? Are we furthering the church? Are we encouraging one another in our agreed-upon mission here at Midland First to help people know, love, and share Jesus Christ? Or how about those conversations that we share outside of the church? And so perhaps it's at work. Or perhaps it's at school. Or perhaps it's over email or Slack or Instagram. Okay, full disclosure, I don't have an Instagram account. I have no idea how to chat on Instagram. But sometimes conversations take place on social media, Facebook. Those conversations count. Or how about the conversations that you share with neighbors? In our neighborhood, that's likely to happen more so at our mailboxes. We're grabbing the mail or bringing in the trash bin. Or how about if you're raising a busy family and somehow the stars align and you magically or serendipitously find yourself around the kitchen table as a family, right? How about those conversations? Are those the kind that nurture and shape our heart around God's heart? Or are they distracting us? Or discouraging us? What comes to mind for me is that when Jesus asked his disciples what they were discussing out on the road, when I consider the gospel's portrayal of Jesus and what we know about Jesus, I don't think that Jesus was looking to stump the disciples when he asked them what they were discussing. And as we sung about this morning, about shame, I don't think Jesus was looking to shame the disciples in asking them what was it they were arguing about. No, I think Jesus knew. I think Jesus knew and wanted more for his disciples. And I think Jesus knows and wants more for us. Whenever we lose our way, or whenever the conversation around us distracts us from remembering the way of Jesus. That, like Hillary said, turn this world upside down. No, son, not literally, but in a meaningful way. Where that to be first, we must be last and servant of all. I believe that Jesus wants us to experience and to know the abundant life that comes with knowing that we're not walking this road alone. That comes when we surround ourselves with others who would encourage us. This road that comes with knowing that he is with us. Indeed, perhaps this is something worth discussing. Amen? Amen. As we pray today, we have a number of life celebrations to celebrate. Unfortunately, I don't know where my notes are. But let me see if I can find them here on the pew. If not, we'll have to celebrate next week. I don't see them here. So if you look in our bulletin, you will find whose births we are celebrating. But I think we are definitely celebrating the birth of Rachel and Doug Hiltonen's child. And also, yes, perfect, Gabrielle, if you can grab that. You know that we're also celebrating the birth of Hannah and Ian Prey's child. And so, thank you, Gabrielle. Yes, we're celebrating the birth of Emma Carol Prey, who is the daughter of Hannah and Ian Prey, and proud grandmother is Sherry Goff, who is a member of our congregation. And then we're also celebrating the birth of Beckett Riley Hiltonen, who is the son of Rachel and Douglas Hiltonen. Proud grandparents are Doug and Leslie Hiltonen. And proud great-grandma is Janet Haskell. And so we celebrate new life that is being shared in the lives of our church families. So with these celebrations, let us go to God with our prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, this morning we're reminded of the roads that we travel in life. And indeed, the conversations that shape our hearts and our minds, the conversations that sometimes determine the very destination where we go. And Lord, we thank you for those conversations that you have planted into our lives, whether it's through family or friends, co-workers, neighbors. Conversations we're sharing today are conversations spoken so long ago. These conversations, oh Lord, that it's only by your grace that when we're looking back, we can see the seeds that you have planted. We can appreciate the fruit that they have bared. And we give you thanks for those conversations and those traveling companions, O Lord, who have been a means of your grace in our lives. But in hearing the disciples in the Gospel of Mark, we remember too that we are human. We remember too that not all of our conversations point us in the way that we would want to walk. That not all of our conversations are encouraging. That indeed some of our conversations would bring an awkward silence if you were to ask us what is it that we were discussing along the way. Lord, for those times, we thank you for your grace that meets us. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning for us. And if there are some of those conversations in our lives today, O Lord, help us by your gentle hand to either redirect those conversations or to remove them altogether. For Lord, we seek you in all that we do and all that we are. We pray for these conversations in our family and in our church. We pray for life-giving conversations amongst neighbors and co-workers and friends. Perhaps with these neighboring bags, Lord, that you would plant a conversation that would bring grace to someone we don't yet know. Indeed, we pray for these sort of conversations in our nation and around the world, seeking a world that knows more and more your kingdom and your way. And all this we pray as we pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Church, I invite you to stand as we end our service today with the servant song.
Friends, thinking about the disciples on that road with Jesus and the conversation they shared and that awkward moment of silence they must have had as they situated themselves in the home, reminded of the conversations that we share. I think back to just last night and conversations I was able to have with members from our church and members in our community and how life-giving it was to hear of the commitment to minister to youth here in Midland. But I also know the other conversations that I've have and have are having in life that sometimes aren't always the most encouraging. Conversations that I have with friends, conversations that I have with others. How might we steer those conversations in a life-giving way? Because friends, Jesus knows the life abundant that Jesus wants for us. May we seek that life the same. Amen? Amen. Amen.